Steve. We're recording. If you guys would like to pick a hymn, I have a couple picked. We'll sing one of mine first and give you a chance to warm up. But we'll have a word of prayer and then we'll sing it. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our day, for this little bit of time that's set aside, Lord. We're honouring you with it, and we pray you'd be one of our number, that you would speak to us and help us, comfort, strengthen, temper us, Lord. You know what we need, Father, and I pray that. Please be with our absent brethren, Lord, wherever it is they are. And I pray you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters right the way across the world. Please bless and honour those that honour you, Father. We love you and thank you. Please be with the Trump family, the Farage family, Lord, America and Britain and Gaza and Israel and Russia and Ukraine. In fact, Lord, all the leaders of all the countries in the world, Lord, would you please, even now, I know a lot of them have their ears covered and don't want to do anything right, just what they want to do. Please speak to people, Lord. Please, Lord, save souls. We love you and praise you. We leave these things at your feet. And Lord, thank you. Right, we are moving to the big books. I'll be moving to the big glasses. It's always going to see a thing. Or I'll see everything, it's just so jumbled together. And we're going to start with 247. 247 in the big books. That's save to save. Suggestions?
448.
448. I think that is that.
Yes.
Brethren, we have met for worship, is it? Yes, it is. 448. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing this one. Thanks.
Today's reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 91. This is from Sandra's Mother's Bible, and every line has a blue line underneath it and something written over the tablets. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shall thou trample on their feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen.
I have an asterisk beside every single verse in that, and I have a line under a few of the verses and a line around them all. Those are good verses. Amen. Just want to remind everybody to make sure, unlike myself, that they have their prayer list with them. I don't know where mine is. Yes, I do. It's sitting on the table where I was doing my reading. So please do remember your prayer lists. Please, does anybody have anything they would like to add to them at all? Okay. Well, we'll have a brief prayer. Yes, madam.
John has a revelation tomorrow.
Yes, you've heard of Ed Bissett, who had the cancer in his bladder. His wife has a heart ablation. Is that a nerve or an
We might know better. I think they go in and scrape out, but I'm not positive.
Please pray for Joan Bissett, if you would, for tomorrow. Amen. Anything else? Nothing else. Right, let's have a quick prayer and then we'll continue on. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before you at any time with anything. And Lord, know that you'll consider these things and give us direction around and about them, through them, over them, or under them, or, Lord, with them standing on top of them. Please, Lord, I pray you for all of our private prayer requests, for absent brethren, for loved ones and our families that don't yet know you as Saviour. We pray you too, Lord, for the Bissett family, for Ed, as he recovers from an infection. Looking forward to getting it all clear with the camera test. And for his wife, Lord, as she goes for a heart ablation, I pray that everything would go smoothly, Father, please. I pray, Lord, for Israel and Gaza and the West Bank and all the actors that are involved in Israel down there, and every single one of them that's there with evil intent, Lord, I pray that you would rock them back in their knees. Lord, either black eye or bloody nose, please provide that, Lord, and please provide protection and provision for all of the soldiers and all of the people that are just trying to live peaceable lives, Lord. Pray too for the elections that are going on in America, for the Trump family at this time, and the Comparatore family, Lord, for the family that lost a dad and a husband from one of those stray bullets from the shooter, Lord. I pray, please, for that family at this time, and for the other two families that are caught up in being injured at that meeting, Lord. Please, I pray. And I know there's things going on the whole way across the world. I pray, please, Lord, for your children as we suffer through this world and difficult things happen to us, Lord. I pray for wisdom and wherewithal, and the remembrance that you are always there to keep an eye on us. Please be with Lord Steve, wherever he is, whatever he's doing. with John McGowan and his family, with John McMahon, Lord, wherever he is, and Carol and Stephen, from Weldon, for Christine and Mary Ann, and we do indeed pray that they would have had a restful time visiting with their daughter in Newton Arch. For Colin and Kate, for Dr. Shine and Frank, Lord, that you would broaden Bethel's borders, and you would help us, Lord, always to be a help in pointing souls to the foot of the cross. Now, there are many other prayer requests, and I pray that you would grant them and our private ones in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will, Lord. For the John Henry family, for the building of the church, and all the other bits and pieces that need done. Thank you for good health, and thank you for the wherewithal to do what needs to be done. We love you and praise you, Father. Amen. Amen. Lynn, do you have a hymn that you would like for us to sing? You can sing 448 again if you like. I know that is a favourite of yours.
29.
Is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Number 29 in the reading book. Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Yeah.
will be reading through the book of Judges chapter 16 this evening, if you would like to take and turn there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Judges. About seven books into the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, the eighth book in. Judges chapter 16. And I'm not going to be too heavy this evening, but we are going to look at the life of Samson and see if we can draw any lessons or any thoughts in this 15 or 20 minutes in the lessons of Samson. Judges chapter 16, we're going to read it all. I think it's about, 30 verses. I am through it in the flash. This is the tail end of Samson, the very last the last record of Samson in the Bible. If you want to get the full story, read the previous two or three chapters. The Word of God says in Judges 16, "Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay until midnight, and lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And the lords of the Philistines brought to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And when she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it is touched, when it toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto a God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath shown me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as of other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the two pillars, between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld why Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes." And Samson took a hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtel in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your wisdom and patience as we read into the end of the life of Samson. And let us, Lord, I pray you, see and understand just exactly what went on here. And let us learn from him, Lord, and not from bitter or grim experience. I love you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for your patience and long-suffering with us. Please be one of our number and of the company of our brethren across the world, we pray, Lord. We love you and thank you. Amen. Lessons from Samson. Normally, depending on your company, if you were talking about lessons from Samson, maybe people would be thinking how to build big biceps or how to run like the wind on the treadmill so you could catch a bunch of foxes, or maybe a martial arts class where you could beat the tar out of 1,000 people with the jawbone of an ass. But that's not what we're here for this evening, although it pays to look after yourself. It's not the be-all and end-all, as we see here from the life of Samson. This is the end of the life of Samson that we're reading here. I would love to tell you that if we were reading the first chapter, that everything was great, there was an unbeatable warrior that the Lord had blessed with unimaginable strength and speed. However, whilst he did do that, Samson didn't use those things properly. He was a formidable man. He was an unbeatable soldier, but he exercised those muscles, more than the one that really counted, the one that resides in between his two ears, and it brought him down. As we open up chapter 16, we see the source of all of his problems, two women. And not any two women, and I'm not against women, I married one, as you might well notice at the front of the church. One was a prostitute, and Samson spent the night with her. And the other one is, of course, the woman called Delilah, who's already, or shortly afterwards, is bought by the lords of the Philistines for the princely sum of 1,100 pieces of silver in their plot to destroy Samson. Now, he had already used one of the Philistine women early on in his life. He had said to his dad, "Go and get me a wife," and it was one of the Philistine women. And his mom's and dad's hearts were broke because they were forever hoping that he would get married to a Jewish girl, one of the children of Israel. And we also know that he, at his bachelor party, he spoke a riddle to the men that were there for his bachelor party. And they really put the pressure on to this woman that he was going to marry. They said, "Tell us the answer to Samson's riddle or we'll kill you and your father." And so she cried and cried and cried and cried. And eventually he gave her the answer to the riddle, and she gave the answer to the Philistines, and he lost the riddle. And he ended up going into the local town, killed 30 men, took their clothes and their money, and gave that to the bachelor men, and then he left because he was angry. A little while later, of course, he came back to get his wife and found that her father had given her to another man. And so Samson, willing to teach him a lesson on how he had taken his wife away, all of these were organized by God to give him a reason or an excuse to go against the Philistines and kill as many as he wanted. So he went and caught 300 foxes and tied a firebrand between their tails and set them through the crops, and a whole bunch of Philistines came after him. A whole bunch. And he found the jawbone of an ass, and he took and he killed 1,000 men. I was going to say, the jawbone of an ass has been killing thousands of men ever since, for all of these men that were sent to war by men that sit in comfy chairs enjoying their brandy and cigars. But the only two times that Samson ever called upon the Lord in this portion of his word, one of them was right now, whenever he was so thirsty he was faint and he thought he was about to die, and he called upon the Lord and the Lord made water come out of the jawbone of the ass. And the other time, of course, was the one that we read this evening, whenever he prayed the Lord for the strength to destroy the Philistines. The next time we see his problem with women is Delilah. And we see the number of times that she asks Samson the source of his strength, and he tells her three fairy tales. And she keeps trying him. "Samson, the Philistines have come to get you." Three times she does it. And he gets up and walks away, and all the things that were designed to hold him back or to rob him of his strength have just shrunk them off. So he poured his love into this woman, Delilah, but she most certainly didn't love him back. Which is not surprising, because at this time he is quite plainly noted and marked as an enemy of the country, an enemy of the state. And I am sure there were many Philistines that wanted him dead for all the people that he had killed. And she cried and she said, "You mock me, and you're supposed to love me, and you lie to me." And on the fourth time, she turned on the tears and tugged at his heartstrings. She had no problem bringing about his downfall, and he told her all his heart. I want for you to know that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the word of God in a description of true love tells us that true love always wants the best for the object of its love, not its destruction. And so he tells her the thing that will weaken him, that will destroy him, and she takes advantage of that. It was his downfall. And we all know what happened. His eyes were put out. It's hard to be a strong man in battle when you can't see what you're fighting. And then he was sent to grind the meal in the prison. But his hair started to grow back. And at the end of it all, he collapsed the whole temple of Dagon with thousands of Philistines in it and killed more in his death, the Bible reports, than he did in his life. A few thoughts that I would like to bring to you. First of all, it doesn't matter how many reps or what food you use to build big muscles, thinking you'll be indestructible. It was never an overwhelming force that defeated Samson. It was the tears and the weeping of the women that he supposedly loved, and certainly didn't love him back. He was beaten by a woman. And I have come across many, many men in my life who claim to be strong and upstanding, but as soon as their wives snap their fingers, they jump to attention. Men are supposed to lead, women are supposed to love and follow their husband. As we have already mentioned, Samson is only ever recorded as calling upon the Lord to save his life and to welcome him into death. There is no mention of Samson appealing to God about the decisions that he needed to take, although in his early days, Samson is renowned to have, or known to have, been following the leading of the Lord and looking for an exception against the Philistines. But as he went on, and in the last chapter of his life, he doesn't appeal to the Lord. Lord, should I go and visit this prostitute? Lord, should I go and see this woman, Delilah? Because if he had, the Lord, I am sure, would have said, no, don't do that. That will bring about your destruction. So the lesson that we learn from there is that it's not big muscles that will save your skin in this world. It's not your assets. It's not your strength. It is keeping in touch with the Lord. No matter how well or how badly things are going, stay away from bad company. Don't get mixed up in the wrong people, with the wrong people who will do anything for money. The Word of God tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that the love of money is the root of all evil. And people will do anything for money. They will betray their loved ones. They'll sell themselves to do all sorts of things that normally they wouldn't. And we can see many influential and well-famous people doing just that for money. The Bible also says that we should not keep company with evil people because evil communications corrupt good manners. And Samson's time with the Philistines and obviously picking them as romantic partners certainly did not do a single thing for him. In fact, the Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as he spoke to Christians, to believers, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Samson made a really big mistake. He told Delilah all his heart. And our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. They have all the things that trouble us and weaken us, the things that thrill us, things that people can take advantage of. And there is only one person to tell that all to, and that is to the Lord. It says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Having peace with the people around you comes at a very high cost. When Samson was in just about to be destroyed, this woman, Delilah, she kept on and on and on about him to tell him everything. And it destroyed him. Don't be telling people the things that you have trouble with unless you are sure and they're praying for you. Give those things to the Lord. And probably the last thing that I would like to bring to your attention this evening is there's no one that's that strong that doesn't need to be saved, that doesn't need to lean on the Lord. Nobody is sin-proof in this world. Even if it's only your pride, the devil will get you that way. If you're a drinker and you believe that you have passed alcohol and it doesn't have an effect on you and you don't need God anymore, there is the end that the devil will have, and he will get you some other way. Remember, it wasn't a guy with bigger muscles or faster legs that beat Samson. It was women that broke his heart with their tears and their crying. Don't forget to use the muscle that most people never do, the one between your ears, and think. Ask questions. Consider what people say. Compare it to the Word of God that God has preserved for us, and things will go better. In fact, it says in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." With a little bit of wisdom, and the massive strength that Samson had, and if he had spent his time on his hands and knees in prayer instead of in a whorehouse, Samson could have been undefeated for who knows how long, until he was an old man, for maybe another 50 or 60 years. It doesn't pay to put your faith in yourself. Word of God says in song and in the Bible that the arm of flesh will fail you by accident or by design, or just as the years go on, your body will fail you at some point. Far better to put your faith in the Lord, regardless of your assets, your talents, your abilities, your training, whatever it is, it's far better to put your faith in God. Samson, powerful man, an awesome warrior, but a terrible judge of character. Not a man that ever did much thinking by the looks of things. And he ended up as a blind suicide. I know that many of the judges, and indeed the kings that came later, started off very well. And every single one of them had a problem when they started to believe in their own press that everything, just like Nebuchadnezzar, that every single thing that they had was there because they were special or because of some talent that they had. Don't forsake church, but more importantly, do not forsake the Lord Jesus Christ that gave his life on the cross for you, that saved you for free, forever and sure, and keeps you in the palm of his hand, that intercedes for you every day, and our Father in heaven, which just loves to hear from you and to help you out. Don't ever, ever forsake the Lord. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Well worth a read. So many parts of the Bible. I hope and pray we learn something from Samson. Amen. I think we are going to, yep, one more hymn, 355 in the big book. If you're able, turn to 355 and stand with me as we sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Thank you. good time. God bless you. Safe travels home. And until the next time we meet, just keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this lovely sight from the world. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. And Lord, even now in these last of the last days, I pray that your presence would be